This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find out more at Zyn.com. So Dustin just passed along the word. If you're looking for an angle here, Game 3 Stanley Cup Final. Of course, the Panthers up 2-0 against the Oilers. We'll switch to Edmonton from north of Miami. Now, much has been made about the travel because it's the furthest distance teams have had to travel in the Stanley Cup Final. And Dustin just told me that Florida, the Panthers are actually having delayed issues. So they were supposed to get there earlier, but the Panthers are having issues with getting to Edmonton. Use that information how you will. Okay, I do think we have our buddy Greg Wyshynski. He's ESPN's senior NHL writer. You can find Greg on Twitter at Wyshynski. Of course, the podcast, The Drop, on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. We say hi to Greg. Greg, thank you for joining us. So much has been made about the travel in this series. Of course, the longest distance. We just heard word that Florida having trouble, so they're delayed getting into Edmonton. My assumption is you're in Edmonton. Can you tell us about the travel from Florida to Edmonton?
Yeah, the travel was fine for those of us who actually left when we should have, which is yesterday. I don't know what was going on with the Panthers thinking about trying to leave today, because honestly, everyone knew the weather was going to be even worse today than it was yesterday in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, everybody was aware of it. So the fact that they've had this flight delay is entirely predictable. I did hear they finally have taken off and are expected to get into Edmonton I think within the 8 o'clock hour local time. Keep in mind, there is a time zone shift for them as well. So this is really going to, you know, potentially throw them off their routine a bit, having to come in a little bit later than expected. We're still waiting here at the arena to find out if they're going to hop by and do some media before they tuck in their beds for the night. But certainly not the smoothest of sailing going from Florida to Edmonton for game three.
Yeah, we're always looking, as bettors, we're always looking for that break of routine, so certainly something to that. On television, these barns, like every time I'm watching a hockey game, the crowds just pop. However, there obviously is a lineage difference with Edmonton and then north of Miami, where the Florida Panthers play. What was it like down in Florida as far as the atmosphere there?
It was cool. I mean, that's a fan base that's really matured a bit in the last couple of seasons. Obviously, as a team gets good and consistently good, the fan base is going to grow. I think also I've often said that the best way to grow fans in the NHL is to live and die with your team in the playoffs. And obviously, you know, the hunger left over from falling short in the Stanley Cup final last year only made the fans even more rabid. I've covered the Panthers for a long time. I can say without question, there are more Panthers fans now than there have ever been. There's more market penetration than there's ever been insofar as seeing Panthers flags and t-shirts and stuff all over the place. And they even have their own practice facility now with a team store and everything too. So it was pretty loud and pretty energetic, but I don't think it'll compare to the chaos that we're going to feel in game three as the Oilers return home with what is without question their last stand in this series.
Yeah, in a historic franchise, down 0-2 in the series. Let's start there, Greg. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer. Let's start from the Edmonton perspective. They're down in the series. What can they do to right this ship in game three?
Well, there's a couple things that'll happen right off the bat, which is that they're going to be able to get the matchups that they want at 5-on-5. The home team in the NHL gets the last line change. That's really good news for Connor McDavid. It's no secret that McDavid has seen copious amounts of Alexander Barkov in this series. Barkov's played extraordinarily well. He's the best defensive forward in the league. And McDavid doesn't have a goal yet. One of the things they're going to be able to do here in Edmonton is hopefully get matchups for the McDavid line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Zach Hyman against lines that don't involve Sasha Barkov. So that's one huge advantage. The second thing is they're going to have to figure out a way to break through on the power play. And that's easier said than done because the Florida Panthers have a dynamic penalty kill. They have not allowed a goal in 7 opportunities against Edmonton in this series. They've actually not allowed a goal against the Edmonton power play in the entire season. They're coming off a series against the New York Rangers in which they killed 14 of 15 power play opportunities against what's considered to be the second best power play in the league besides Edmonton. And so, you know, the Oilers live and die with their power play. They thrive off it and the energy that they get, that it gives them. And McDavid talked today about trying to play maybe a little bit more road hockey, maybe a little bit more like we're playing 5-on-5 versus a structured power play. They need to figure out a way to break through on that, or else it's going to be hard for them to score in this series.
Let's go to the goalies. Bobrovsky has been awesome, and that's not all routine saves, right? He's been awesome. And I thought Stuart Skinner was great in the Dallas series. He probably wanted a couple, maybe that game-tying goal back in game two. Do you consider this to be a major edge moving forward for Bobrovsky?
I think only yes, only because it's starting to get in that impenetrable zone for Bob. Like, he gave up a stoppable goal to Matthias Ekholm in game two, ended up not hurting the Panthers, who go on to win the game. But it was the first time that he had been beaten through the five hole between his legs in the entire postseason. That's how good he's been down low. It's clearly an advantage for Florida in the series. I think we all anticipated that. But, you know, if you told me that Edmonton was down 0-2 in a Stanley Cup final and you couldn't blame either loss on Stuart Skinner, I think you'd take that every day of the week. And you're right, since it goes back to the benching that he had in the Vancouver series. He's been really, really solid since then, and really kind of one of the least of their concerns, which is good news for Edmonton.
It was an up and down game. It looked like it's starting to get chippy with Draisaitl and others. Like, I would imagine game three, specifically with that pressure cooker there in Edmonton, like, this 5.5 is the total. I guess I'm asking because we're talking from a betting perspective. I don't expect a breakout of many goals. Would you?
I don't. And you know, the total was 5.5 on game two as well, and fell just short of it. I thought there was a chance that if we had gotten an Oilers empty netter, we could have gotten over the total with another, with their net empty rather, then we could have gotten over the total of the Florida empty netter. I think I could see the same scenario playing out where it's just tight at the end and maybe an empty net goal, you know, tips it over the total. But no, I don't think we're going to see an offensive bonanza unless the processes of the Florida Panthers have been scrambled so mightily by this travel delay that they're completely off their game. They're just too good defensively right now. They're locked down. They're playing aggressive. It brings me back to covering them against the Rangers. And I remember Mika Zibanejad from the Rangers saying in that series, they're so good defensively that they make you get like conservative brain. You know, you're not taking the same chances you usually take because you're so afraid of making a turnover because you know they're going to be right on it and pounce on it. So when they're this locked in defensively and Bobrovsky is playing as well as he is, it's hard to imagine that we're going to see, you know, fire wagon hockey in game three.
Greg, I'm fascinated by cities for some reason. What's Edmonton like? Is the barn like? Is the stadium built into the downtown? Could you compare Edmonton to an American city? What's the vibe there in Edmonton?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy because this is only my second time here. It's funny, the only other time I've been in Edmonton, it was for McDavid's first home game 9 years ago. Oh. So it's a real full circle moment for me. And since then, you know, they've built an arena. They built up a whole downtown area. You know, the arena is downtown. The atmosphere around the games are incredible. They bring out, you know, a huge crowd of fans to watch the game on screens outside the arena. It's very energetic. The town comes alive without question when the Oilers play. But from a city perspective, I flew in last night and I'm walking around this morning and it kind of gives me a little St. Louis vibe, I'd say. You know, there's a river, there's a, you know, it's a little wear and tear, a little dicey at night. Arenas in the downtown area where people don't necessarily hang out. It sort of reminds me a little bit of St. Louis, if I had to make an example, a comparison.
I like that. St. Louis is a good. It's weird because Canada, I've been to Toronto. Vancouver looks like it's like European. Like, it's just like so, you know,
Montreal
majestic
well,
looking.
Yeah.
Montreal, yeah, old and just cool. Okay, do 2 minutes. Would you expect the Oilers to pick up the W here? They got the line shift. They're a $1.35 favorite tomorrow night.
Well, I picked them in six. So the math still checks out that it can win in six, but I have my doubts. I mean, look, I think they could win game three. It really is backs against the wall. And as McDavid pointed out today, I mean, there have been other times in these playoffs and certainly in the regular season when they've been completely written off and then come back and won a game. It's hard to imagine them getting beaten in four straight, and especially when you consider the matchup advantages they'll have in this game in particular with getting their guys out away from the best defensive players on Florida. So I'm optimistic that they can make this a series and win game three. But the other part about it, too, and this is kind of the bottom line for me, is that Edmonton played great game one. They regressed in game two. Florida did not play a great game one, and they were like 10 times better in game two. And on top of that, we're also dealing with some injuries on the Edmonton side. Evander Kane might not play. He's been hindered by a sports hernia. He has one assist in nine games. Darnell Nurse is coming off an injury in game three, game two. He's going to play in game three. So we're also seeing kind of Florida really showing some, Edmonton showing some battle damage right now against Florida too. And that's not a good sign.
Awesome. Greg Wyshynski, that was great. ESPN senior NHL writer at Wyshynski on Twitter. The podcast, The Drop, on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy Edmonton and thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
I shall. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you very much. Greg Wyshynski did a good job there. The big guy. He liked that conversation. You can tell. I can see the big guy when I'm talking to the guests, and sometimes he'll get a little smile on his face. He was happy during that conversation. Either that or somebody provided waters. I'm going to come back with some baseball plays next.
Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Get an in-depth betting preview of the U.S. Open with VSIN's golf betting experts on the Long Shots podcast. Wes Reynolds, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin break down every aspect of this year's toughest major, including their best bets. Subscribe to Long Shots wherever you get your podcasts. Check that out. They had that live airing earlier today. Flit. We welcome you back. Sharp Money, presented by Zinn. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson. I always like to talk about the cities like Edmonton. For some reason, Canada fascinates me. Maybe it was because growing up in Detroit or outside of Detroit, we would always just go through the tunnel to Windsor because you could get toky-dokied at 19 years old. Just as long as you had a designated driver. And then we always had that one freak that would go there, and you think we're going to the bar, and he would go get, you can do things in, like you can do in Vegas. You understand, Dustin?
Yeah. But no, it's fully legal there, yeah.
It's literally in the phone book.
I've researched it.
So our designated driver, and he was a shady person, but our designated driver, whenever we would go to Windsor, he'd be like, I'm just going to chill at the hotel.
Sure.
And then we'd put two and two together. We'd be like, we're not staying the night. Oh, so then he would chill and then pick us up after sober. It was the Dustin of the group. You know what I'm saying?
Everyone's got one, and I'm lucky enough to be that guy.
Everybody's got the freak-a-deek in the group, but I don't know. I've just always been. Toronto is a very cosmopolitan city. It's tremendous. Been up there, been to a Raptors game. You'd be shocked how much they care about basketball. I've never been to a Maple Leafs game up there. I would imagine it's off the charts. But then you have, you know, almost like two sides of it all. Like over, if you're looking at a map, the far right, Montreal. Montreal is one of the oldest cities. Like,
been there.
Very traditional. You've been to Montreal.
Twice.
And you love it.
Beautiful. I mean, other than being really rude and speaking French, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, cafes all over the place. Supposed to be gorgeous.
Artistic. What's art, that? Is it Art Deco? It's like that gothic.
Yeah,
type
the
look.
Wonderful architecture. Yeah. And I love art. So that's the type of thing I love to look at. So, yeah, I'm fascinated by it.
So, what I'd say is everything you need to know about a subject that you don't know anything about, you can usually gather in a Google search, but you don't read an article. You read like the Cliff Notes. So, like, everything I know about world politics is based off Yahoo headlines. I've never clicked the articles, but I read the headlines for what Yahoo puts out there, and that's everything I know about the world. So when I go, what is Edmonton known for on Google here? I got to tell you, we're not working with much at the moment.
Well, no, but you give me that answer, but just let me finish. So then if you're looking at a map, you go all the way left. Remember when you and I used to be obsessed with Canada and CFL, Canadian football?
Yeah.
Vancouver literally looks like it's from the future.
Yes.
Water everywhere, like very progressive, new architecture. It looks like the most like vibrant city in the world. Lights everywhere. But then what really fascinates me about Canada is that middle portion, because you've got like Calgary going up to Edmonton, and all I ever hear is cow towns. Like,
that's Calgary.
Very industrial, you know, cold. So what is Edmonton known for?
Let's see. We got the Royal Alberta Museum. We've got West Edmonton Mall. We've got festivals. They host lots of festivals in the city. Pierogies. And then the Edmonton Oilers. That is what Edmonton is known for.
When you're flexing that you have a mall.
Was this 1996?
Do you have a food court too to really put it over the top? I mean, that is, that's something to hang your hat on as a city.
We got two Wetzel's pretzels.
Although I will tell you, when I moved to Vegas, I was like, you know, like where's the culture in the city? Or like first thing people said is you got to go to the Mob Museum. Okay. Second, you know, obviously the Strip, and then people are just like, we have some great shopping.
Do you know who else has great shopping? The internet. That can no longer be a selling point. You can
Jeffrey Bezos.
I can buy anything I want on the internet and it will show up at my door. I don't need to get dressed. I don't need to go to a store. I don't need to pull out a credit card to go get cash. Why would you tell me you have great shopping in your city? I can literally order it on the internet.
For those keeping score at home, during this segment, Dustin has introduced us to Google searches and the fact that you can now shop online. So we're doing good. You wanted to get your baseball plays in?
I mean, I did. I did before I was being mocked on this show. let me pull them up here. All right, first one. The Baltimore Orioles and the Atlanta Braves. And God, I had the Braves yesterday, and they just left every runner on base all game long. It was driving me insane. We've got a pitching matchup of Cade Povich and Spencer Schwellenbach. Povich had one start this year. It was against the Blue Jays. He allowed 6 earned runs. Schwellenbach has pitched 9.2 innings in the big leagues this season. He's allowed 9 earned runs. The Atlanta Braves score slightly more runs on the road than they do at home. They're in Camden Yards. And it's an opportunity to back both offenses. We're going to go over 9 runs in this one.
Okie dokie. The Braves and Orioles? You're going over 9? That's exactly what I had written down, too.
I think we're going to get a mash fest.
Simpatico.
Yeah.
Simpatico.
We're going to Nelly together.
I actually had the under in Cleveland and Cincinnati as well, just for fun.
I like it. And I got one more.
Give me the Phillies, too.
I mean, just ride the Phillies till it all falls apart. Also, best first 5 team in baseball. Telling you, the Phillies are going to win the World Series this year. They're best team in baseball. They're built for October.
I'm fading your boy Pivetta.
Pivetta's a weird pitcher. I feel like every time I bet on him, he lets me down. Every time I bet against him, the opposite happens because I don't remember what I said to start the sentence. I do have one more play for you. I got one more. It's dicey. I don't love where my head's at with this one, but I'm going to back the New York Metropolitans. So
let's go Mets.
Their first 5 minus a half run, we've got Peterson on the bump for them. And, you know, he's been really solid 2 starts since getting called up against the Dodgers and the Nats. Been good. But the key here is the Mets are facing Braxton Garrett. Braxton Garrett, 0-2, 4.91 ERA career versus the Mets in 7 starts. Even worse in 4 at Citi Field, 5.89. This Miami offense also doesn't hit lefties. They are 30th in OPS against southpaws, whereas the Mets are 7th in OPS against left-handed pitching. Lindor, Marte, Alonso have worn Braxton Garrett out for his career. And here's the key. Mark Vientos, the kid playing third base, is mashing. 385 against lefties, a 1,200 OPS. I think the Mets offense gets it done. I don't think the fish score against Peterson. We'll go first 5 minus a half minus 105 on the Metsies.
Okay. Now, if I was going to ride with you as a family, mm-hmm. I didn't love the way the handicap started with you sandbagging by saying you don't like the bet.
Well, I hate the New York Mets. That's the problem I have. And I am having a very difficult time of talking myself out of not backing the Mets later on in the future. You can get them on DraftKings right now, Patrick, 7-1 to make the playoffs. And you're like, hold on, the Mets stink. Why would you bet the Mets 7-1 to make the playoffs? Well, everyone in the mix for that last wild card spot also stinks at baseball. The Chicago Cubs, since April 27th, are 15-26. The Arizona Cardinals don't have their two best pitchers. Musgrove's about to pitch for the Padres with a bone spur in his arm. The New York Mets are 3.5 games out of a wild card. They're 7-1. And in July and August, they will have 22 games against the 5 worst teams in baseball, the Angels, the A's, the Rockies, the Marlins, and the White Sox. I agree. The Mets stink. But I'm very intrigued about the future of the Mets here in the coming weeks, that they could somehow put this together against some bad baseball teams.
I'm going to tell you, you want to know something? We talked about this team before the season. Now, this team was pointing to next year.
Uh-huh.
They could make the wild card this year. Curly W's.
25
to 1.
The Nats
are a game out.
25 to 1. Don't think I haven't thought about it. You call up James Wood. You call up the other outfielder. His name is Cruz. They have plenty of pitching with Gore the way he looks right now. They are a feisty team. They battle. The Washington Nationals are a game out of the last wild card spot. That is bonkers.
I'd probably bet them at plus money tonight against Reese Olson and the Tigers as well, Jake Irvin.
Well, if you're going to back an offense in that one, which offense are you backing? The Nats.
Both offenses are putrid.
I'll back the Nats, though. Reese Olson gets no run support.
Mm-mm. All right. I thought it was a stellar segment. We got Canada. We got Google. We got online shopping. And gave like 12 baseball plays.
Gotta love it. Welcome to June 12th.
It ain't July.
Well, I know because we're here.
There it is. Coming back. How does that make you feel? For those on the radio, we just showed the picture of Dustin up at Legacy Club. What does the picture make you feel? It makes me feel odd.
It makes me feel I need to eat more vegetables.
Why do you? You definitely look skinny.
No, skinnier. You're comparing to before. Honestly, it was a good thing to happen. I needed it to happen. I've been slacking the last 2 weeks. I need to see that and realize the progress I made was not as drastic as I thought it was.
You look like, and I've never seen the show, but you look like you should be in that show, Euphoria.
Oh, I wish I could be in that show when Sydney Sweeney
Let
does
me
her
guess,
thing.
You have a crush on a girl in the show. We know. Matt Moore is next.
America does.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro with the spring special. You get 13 months for $199, so a free month, and you save $41. You can sign up, vsin.com/subscribe. Get the picks, get the splits, get the guides, get everything we offer. Use the promo code SHARP to unlock the deal, vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we welcome you back here. Sharp Money presented by Zinn. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We have a few for years now. We've got a short list of guests that we don't bother unless we need them. We bring in the big guns, and that is Matt Moore when it comes to the NBA, because the Porzingis thing has thrown a wrench into Game 3. The Action Network NBA writer at HP Basketball, he's the best. He's Matt Moore. You can check out the podcast Locked On NBA, Locked On Nuggets. Progressive Guest Line brings you Mr. Moore. Matt, nice to speak with you. Let's start here. If Porzingis doesn't play, what does that provide as far as an opportunity for the Mavs?
Well, I mean, it's going to make, you know, it'll help, especially I think on the offensive end, actually, because it gives you more opportunity to kind of target Al Horford. Now, they've struggled with that. Luka's settled mostly for step-back jump shots. But with Al Horford in instead, that gives you the opportunity to maybe attack a little bit more and force some of that help, which will free up the shooters on the outside, which is what the Mavericks really need. That can get Kyrie Irving going. You know, just these little things that can really help in those kind of situations. I think, you know, for Boston, he's dominated all of his matchups on switches, so that's helpful too. or on the offensive side for Boston, he's had a big impact in the series as well. He's been huge on both ends. They play great defense and great offense when Porzingis has been on the floor. They've played okay offense and okay defense when he's been on the bench. They are a net zero when he is on the bench. They haven't lost his minutes, the minutes when he's been on the bench. They haven't won them either. So that opens up the opportunity. It also means they might have to go smaller. It means maybe more minutes for Luke Kornet, right? Or you're trying to get by with Jason Tatum at five, and then you can hit the offensive glass. So there's a lot of like cascading effects if Porzingis is not able to go, or what I think is more likely, which is he tries to go and just isn't able to keep up and then probably has to get pulled, and we don't see him the rest of the game.
So at HP Basketball, this is a Hall of Fame tweet, and I think it sums it up perfectly. Matt Moore tweeted, "The one thing I feel most confident in is that the stuff that they said today isn't accurate. It's either way worse than day-to-day or way better than serious injury." So you do feel as though maybe the Celtics playing a little gamesmanship with the injury.
Yeah, that was definitely a sense I got from talking to Boston folks. It's just like the idea of, you know, there's a lot of the stuff that goes on anytime there's an opportunity. And we heard for 2 days about like, oh, Luka Doncic is questionable. Oh, and oh, he's the injection, all these things. And I think Luka's banged up. He's been banged up all playoffs. I think he's dealing with injuries, but like we heard all about that. And then like, oh, Luka Doncic dropped a 30-point triple double. Huh? That's weird. And sometimes these teams do that where they kind of fire back the other direction. On the other hand, you know, it does sound from every indication of like how the injury is described sounds pretty significant, where it's a band that holds a bunch of things together in your leg. And without it, that stuff starts to like fall down. That sounds bad. And so when you've got Joe Mazzulla saying, well, it's a serious injury. And then also, yeah, he's day to day. Okay. Well, which is it? He suffered a serious injury or he's day to day, because it's not really going to be both. And the only real way that we'll know is to find out tonight. But that's been kind of my thing. I just think we're going to have to see it. We're not, I think trying to guess which way this goes, I think is bad. I think if you like Dallas with Porzingis, you should like them even more right now. And if you like Boston with Porzingis, honestly, I think there's a pretty good chance that you're going to be okay as well. I'm not saying to ignore the Porzingis factor, but just to acknowledge that we don't really know what we're going to see tonight.
Yeah, the games jumped up to 3. So as you know, Matt, it opened Celtics 1, immediately got hit to Mavs lane 1, and then got bet up to 1.5, up to 2, came back down to 1.5, now up to 3. So it feels like a little bit of hedging, whether or not he plays, whether he doesn't, 213.5 on the total. Let me ask you about Kyrie. Is it simply just how marvelous Drew Holiday has been, or do you see something else in Kyrie Irving's game right now?
You know, I'll say I think he was not himself in Boston. The crowd got to him. I think he missed shots that he could normally make. I do think that he got blocked by like Porzingis got him, but like also Al Horford blocked him twice. You know, Derek White obviously had the big block on him. Like guys that shouldn't be able to get his shot blocked are blocking him, and he'll probably adjust to those in game 3. A lot of this is just, you know, when it's like, well, Kyrie's really struggling, and I'm like, how do you tell? Like, how, this is his normal shot diet that goes in or it doesn't. And so I don't really have, like, I don't think that there's much that Boston's played good defense on him, but Kyrie's a tough shot maker. That's what he does. He's either going to make him or he's not. And so from that perspective, I think maybe this is an opportunity for him to kind of just settle in and get back into it. The only other thing I do think is I think that they'll probably find some different mechanisms to get him involved to try and get his game going. I expect to see that tonight. It's one of the reasons why I like the over.
So Kyrie's 23.5 as far as his player prop. I'm just going to give you a number on a player and tell me what you expect from him tonight as far as usage. PJ Washington's 14.5 on player points. What are your expectations for how PJ is used tonight?
Yeah, I like the over there. You know, he's had a lot of good opportunities, and he's the guy that I think has had the most open kind of 3-point opportunities beyond Derrick Jones Jr., who I think plays less tonight. I think maybe we see more Dante Exum. Washington will play the same amount, and not only has he hit threes, but he's also been able to get to the rim. PJ's got a little bit more balance to his game. He's got a little bit more of a well-rounded game. So Washington, I do kind of think, is going to play about the same level of impact that he did in the first two games. But he's, I think, settling in and probably going to play better as the series goes along rather than worse. He I think, is a good target spot. A good example of, if you believe, like, well, they're going home, it's a must-win situation, the role players play better at home. P.J. Washington is the exact type of guy that could have a game that impacts things and helps the Mavs get to 2-1.
Jaylen's one plus 140, so this is MVP. Tatum plus 150. Okay. Luka's 6-1. Jrue Holiday 7.5-1, and then Kristaps 40-1. Forget the numbers. Who's been the best player through two games?
Ooh, okay. So the best player has been Jrue Holiday, but the best bet for MVP, I think, is Jaylen Brown. I think Drew's had the most impact because he's been given the biggest opportunity and he's made the most of it, right? Like, Derrick Jones Jr. has had lots of opportunity, hasn't done anything. PJ Washington's had opportunity. Kyrie's had opportunity, hasn't done enough. Jaylen Brown, I think, is in a great spot here where I think Jaylen continues to get really good looks based off of the way that the Mavs are defending and has already put himself in position to be the favorite after he was still a dog early after game two, which I thought was crazy. Like, a big, yeah. He should have been the favorite pretty much after game two. Drew, I think, is one where, like, yes, he's been amazing, but the things that Drew does, those are stuff that the Mavs can very easily clean up. Like, they can shut that water off pretty easy. It's harder, I think, to shut off the water on Jaylen Brown. And that's why I think the best value is on Jaylen Brown here at this number, because there's still kind of a, well, yeah, but Tatum. And I'm like, I don't know, guys. Like, he's shooting 30%. He's on track for the worst shooting performance on volume in finals history. That's going to be hard, I think, for the voters to forget. The signature moment, the big block in game one, that was Jaylen. Honestly, in the last game, like, kind of a clinching layup, Jaylen Brown. He's had all these moments on top of the scoring production. So I think Jaylen Brown is the best bet to win finals MVP, but I think Jrue Holiday has had the biggest impact for Boston in the series.
That's a great answer. I hate to sound square on this, but Brown's number is set at 23.5 on points tonight. Like, he had 21 in game two, and I felt like he could have been more aggressive. Am I missing something there?
No. You know, I think a lot of it depends on, okay, Dallas has thrown multiple levels of defense at Jason Tatum. They have said, we're going to keep throwing all these levels of defense at Jason Tatum. Do they rebalance here? Do they try and reconfigure? You know, Derrick Jones Jr. was asked about that this week here in Dallas, and he said, well, no, we just want to do that to everybody. And I'm that's one of those answers where I kind of, like, give him the Justin Timberlake, really? Really? Because no, they're not playing anybody else the same way. So yeah, I think as long as they don't rebalance their defense, Jaylen Brown's still going to have a lot of opportunities offensively, and maybe even more if Kristaps Porzingis is limited or can't play.
Are you going to the game? Are you in Dallas?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm here for games 3 and 4. So heading to the arena here, right after I get done with you.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the game. Matt Moore, Action Network, NBA writers, the best at HP Basketball. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the basketball, Matt.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. He's the best. We got to come back and talk about some of this. 23 now. Here's the thing. Brown took 15 shots in game two. And the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, I think Tatum took 22 shots. I'm like, those shots should be Brown shots. I have so much more confidence in Jaylen Brown right now. And I know you got a couple of futures as well. We'll come back and get them with the family plays.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, we've got the family plays coming up, but first, here's Stormy Bonatoni with a moment of zen.
This is your betting moment. Moment of Zyn, brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Find your moment of Zyn at Zyn.com. Stormy Bonantoni here with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, diving into the odds for the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year. To the surprise of no one, number one overall pick Caleb Williams is the shortest shot to claim the hardware at plus 135. The Bears QB is set to be a day one starter and has plenty of skill position talent to work with. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, fellow top 10 pick Roma Dunze, to name a few. And the Bears on paper have one of the weaker strength of schedules. From one former Heisman Trophy winner to another, Commanders QB Jaden Daniels is next on the odds board at plus 650. Daniels' ability as a runner should help his case, especially with new OC Cliff Kingsbury in tow. Marvin Harrison Jr. is set at 7-1, followed by J.J. McCarthy 12-1, Malik Nabers 18-1, and Drake May 22-1. This has been your daily betting moment of Zyn. Learn more about Zyn smoke-free nicotine pouches at Zyn.com. Warning: this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zyn is intended for adult nicotine users over 21 years of age.
Stormy Bonantoni Brink, am I right? DraftKings, I put the guys in a tough spot because I was supposed to tell you about DraftKings first and then get to Stormy. My bad, Larry and crew. Bet $5, get $150 instantly. DraftKings, official betting partner of the NBA, but you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. But again, $5 gets you $150. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Sharp Money presented by Zyn, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. We've got picks, we've got plays, we've got videos. Let's do this. First off, we should get props because yesterday our buddy gave out a big winner. Who was it? Oh, it was Tyler Shoemaker.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Remember, it was Minnesota in the Vegas Aces, Minnesota Lynx, I believe it is, in Vegas Aces. And the Lynx ended up closing, catching 6.5, but you get like plus 235. And he said he had Minnesota favored in that game, and they were an outright winner. Or the last time I checked, they were up by like 20. So I'm pretty sure they won. All I waited is for the account to show me I got the cash. You understand, Dustin Sweetelson?
I feel you, period.
No, you don't. Okay. Let's just see. Minnesota. Oh, that's men's tennis. We don't want that. We want WNBA. Are people talking about the WNBA these days? That's a trick question. I was just playing. 180-60, Lynx trounced the Aces. What's the deal with the Olympics? Okay. You want to get to a family vid?
Yeah, let's begin with Bobby Stanley Jr. He's always dropping props on us. You know him from his Discord. The Prop Shop also does great work over at PicksWise. And he has got a Sharp Money family play for us today.
Sharp Money family play.
Bob Stanley here with Sharp Money. Give you my favorite NBA player prop for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Everyone is talking about Kristaps Porzingis. Is he going to play? Is he going to play in a minutes restriction? Is he not going to play Game 3? Is he not going to play the rest of the Finals? I am not a doctor. I do think he's going to try to play. I do think he's going to be on a minutes restriction. Luke is going to test him early, and I think eventually he gets pulled. But my play tonight has nothing to do with Kristaps Porzingis, because I'm on Jason Tatum, over 9.5 rebounds at minus 120. Make sure you shop this around depending what book you're on. This line has 100% hit rate on the road in the postseason for Tatum, 75% hit rate overall. Looking at the deep metrics, he averages 0.1 rebounds per possession with or without Kristaps on the floor. The number does not change. As far as the schematic matchup, I think they go back to what we saw in Game 1, where Tatum opened up on Gafford. Derrick Jones was brought up in the high pick and roll, and it eliminated that lob opportunity. You're not throwing lobs at Derrick Jones at the rim. I think they get back to that. In that Game 1, he had 15 rebound chances, and he hit this line. In Game 2, went down to 12 rebound chances, and he finished with 9 on the nose. I think this 9.5 is a good number for me. Not much value in the double-double because he's been getting so much assists, so it's juiced to high hell. Stick with just 9.5 rebounds. When I'm handicapping player props, and I'm doing over specifically, I care about minutes. If you're on the floor, you have more time to accumulate whatever market you're in. For me, Tatum is averaging 43.7 minutes per game this finals, more than any other Celtic, 4 more than Jaylen Brown. He's on the floor. We're getting a number he's hit with some consistency, and this is a big game in the series. If Dallas wins this, it could get tight. So Boston steal this one. The series is essentially over. I like Tatum to not leave the floor. Give me Jason Tatum over 9.5 rebounds at minus 120. Put one unit on this. Lock this in, and best of luck tonight.
Good job. Good explanation from Bobby Stanley Jr. PicksWise, the prop shop, at Prop Holiday on Twitter. Yes.
Also,
next up,
likes on Twitter are now private. Big win for your boy today.
What does that mean? What does it mean that likes are private?
So I would get outed when I would like a pretty girl's photo, and people would say, hey,
popped in my feed. Dustin Sweetelson liked this girl's photo. So
I'm trying to plant some seeds, and I got people calling me out. Now I can do that in private, and only the person whose photo it is will see that I liked it.
That's awesome. And we learned yesterday you do pay $11.99 for that blue check.
I do.
And but all on me, it's for work purposes.
That's it.
That's a good job by you.
It's all on work. I don't care about the status that comes with it. It is irrelevant. It's just $11.99. All right.
Whoa. That is unfair. Because when we first met, you said you judge people by if they have 10,000 or more Twitter followers, you respect people. If they have 10,000 or less, you don't respect them. Look, that was a direct quote.
I know I've grown in width, but I've also grown as a man, and I no longer feel that way.
Oh, okay. Just clearing it up. That's a good job by you. Aaron Halterman next.
Yeah, well, speaking of status, he's a prince of the plus money variety. You know him from his podcast, Dudes Who Bet Sports Podcast, and also RacingDudes.com, and he's got a baseball Sharp Money Family Play for today.
Hey, what's up, Sharp Money? Back for a Wednesday here, boys. Sometimes you just can't get in sync with the team, and that's kind of how I feel about the Milwaukee Brewers. Coming off of a loss last night, and I just feel like every time I bet them, they lose, and then, they win when I don't. So anyway, we'll move on. We'll turn the page after the Brewers get shut out. I'm actually going to go to my team. I'm going to go to the St. Louis Cardinals. That's the team I root for. Minus a run and a half tonight at plus 120. I think this one makes a lot of sense. Sonny Gray on the mound for the Cardinals tonight. He is the one pitcher in that rotation that you usually can count on for a good effort. He's been very consistent. He's 7-4, ERA at 3.21, taking on a Pirates offense who's not great. There's no doubt about it. Their strength more on the pitching side. So I do think Sonny Gray will have success tonight. And then you look at the Cardinals. The one thing I know about them more than anything is they're so inconsistent offensively. I think after getting kind of shut down, basically one run last night, I think they're going to hit tonight. I think they'll get enough runs to cover this. So I'm going to go St. Louis Cardinals minus a run and a half at plus 120 for my best bet.
Lay the run and a half with the Redbirds, the Cardinals. Aaron Halterman, RacingDudes.com, Dudes Who Bet Sports. Thank you, Aaron. Did you pick it up? Couple things. One, he's gotten over the hangover from Saratoga in Belmont weekend. The other one was one tin with his accent, and then we found again, one tin and again, and then he just gave us another one. Wednesday.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
W-I-I-I-N-S-D-A-Y.
Well,
Wednesday.
We used to work with someone who called it Tuesday, so falls in line.
Wednesday.
Yeah, placing a lot of E's for I, E-I-E-I.
Don't look over your left shoulder. That donk that was running his bets by you just walked by. Dustin's got admirers at the D. It's just not the bartender.
No, it's never a woman. Men love me. God, if I only loved men, my life would be easier.
Cool. Do you have two? Not Brown over 23.5.
Yeah.
Jalen, that's me. And then you gave me two futures that you liked earlier today, which I think are great.
Yeah. So first for tonight, Drew Holiday over 6.5 rebounds plus 120. Love that one.
Let's go.
That in four straight, 5 of 6, averaging 9.5 in two games a series. Dallas allowed the third most rebounds of shooting guards in the season, and no Porzingis. More drives to the lane for Kyrie. He's all over Kyrie. He'll grab boards when Kyrie continues to miss big shots. Futures-wise, Drew Holiday series rebound leaders, 40-1. He's third right now, two behind Luka for the lead. Dallas, as I mentioned, bad with defending shooting guards on rebounds. No Porzingis. And the Kyrie element of him driving more here with the two games at home. I think Holiday has a chance here to lead the series in rebounds. And then the last one, Derek White, most threes made in the series. He's second right now. No Porzingis gets him some more looks from the outside. And the handicap remains the same when wanting to back Derek White. There's so many things to worry about with this Celtics offense. He's kind of the last piece you think about. So he will get shots to knock down. He's just got to hit them. And he's shown that he can be a streaky three-point shooter.
Good stuff from you. U.S. men's national team against Brazil today. Berhalter is under fire. I know it's a friendly, but they got run the last time out, like 4-1. I think it was Colombia. So they need a good showing against Brazil tonight.
Who are you rooting for?
These colors don't run. Okay.
Unless they run down to Brazil to find a woman.
Well, man, just one day. Close tabs.
Let's see. You said Dave Stewart threw you a baseball once in a game. Lenny Harris and JT Snow threw me baseballs. Tatum said Porzingis is 7'4". Really, he used to be 7'3". He was drafted at 7'2". It's interesting how men have real no conceptualization of what an inch really is. Don't make fun of me.
No, I just knew you were going to say it. It's funny, but I knew it was coming. That's Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We'll see you tomorrow on Sharp Money.